Good evening. Tonight, I will be presenting on what we did over the last week. Most of you, most everybody in here should know, but y'all sent 25 of us to the Cayman Islands, Grand Cayman in particular, to conduct a vacation Bible school, to encourage the local church to do some service that the church there was needing to have done. And so I'm going to talk to you tonight about that. This is a picture, obviously, of the group that went. Let me start by showing you where Cayman is. If you look here on the screen, let me change my pen here. Right here, do you see that little tiny dot right there? That is Grand Cayman. It is a grand total of 22 miles long. Right here is Miami, and you could basically draw a line 500 miles straight south. That's where it is. This is where Miranda and I lived. This was my first work after graduating from Bear Valley back in 2014. We moved there the summer of 2014, moved away in the at the very end of 2019, going into 2020. We were there for a solid 5 years, and let me show you kind of a picture of the island. Where we lived at the time and where we worked as a group this last week. I know you can't see the words here, but this down here is East End. They're basically three quadrants to the island. There's West Bay, Georgetown, and then East End. I guess you also have North Side right there. But that far eastern side of the island is where Miranda and I lived. It's the church we worked with, and that's where we brought the group to work this last week. East End is a town that when we were there was about 2,000 people. It has grown by probably more than 500, maybe even 1,000 now. A lot of the island is becoming very congested. As you can imagine, 22 miles long and 3 miles wide at its widest point. So it's about 65, 70 square miles is the total island. And most of the business, most of the hustle and bustle happens over here along 7 Mile Beach. So if you've ever been on a cruise and stopped in there, that's probably where you ported, right here in Georgetown. That's where most of the stuff happens. East End is the quiet side of the island. It is the island side of the island. This is families that go back generations that are just true, full-blooded Caymanian people. We do get some expats. There's a lot that come in from Jamaica, which is just a couple hundred miles further east. We get some from the Honduran islands down to the south. And we just kind of get kind of a hodgepodge of people from various places. But most of the people in East End are local Caymanian people. So those are the ones that we were working with. Where we stayed on this trip was right over here on that point. That's where our group stayed. We got there on Saturday afternoon and basically just had time to grab some groceries and get settled to get ready for the next morning. So we went up to, this is a picture inside the West Bay Church of Christ. So right over here, that's right up here. The guy that is preaching there is Brother Nariah LeBlanc. And if y'all want to hear somebody that just has an amazing sounding voice, that's Nariah. He just has this deep, he's from the island of Dominica, which is way southeastern Caribbean. I met him when I was going through school. We became friends. And he's the one that introduced me to the Cayman Islands. I didn't even know what it was, but he'd gone there. So when we graduated, he graduated a year ahead of me. He moved out there to West Bay and started preaching for this congregation. And he's the one that made me aware of the East End congregation when it came time for me to graduate. But all that to say, here we are worshiping on Sunday morning. A lot of the people are not pictured in the photo that I took during Bible class time. But this is the West Bay congregation. here's a couple of pictures outside the West Bay Church, just our group hanging out in there. We just went, we went with the best group. I mean, it was just, it was so, so encouraging. Everybody that was there did their part. Everybody stepped in and was just, everyone was a trooper. It was hot. When you get off the plane in Cayman, coming from Abilene, which relative humidity here is, I don't know what the average is, but it seems to me that it's always fairly low compared to what I've been used to. When you get off the plane in Cayman, it just, I mean, it hits you in the face. It feels like you stepped into a wall of moisture. And we did some hot work in the sun and spent a lot of time outside together. And this group, there was just no complaining. It was just hard work. But here we are. This is a picture. I was given the privilege of preaching on Sunday night at the Georgetown Church of Christ. Unfortunately, the preacher there was off island at the time, and so he asked me to step in, and I was privileged to do it. This is one of the last places that Miranda and I were before we moved away some years ago, but we worshiped there on Sunday night. This is a picture of hell, really and truly. That is what it's called. In fact, the West Bay Church of Christ, even though West Bay is the proper name of that region, there are all of these little small, almost like village names, like there's Bodentown and all of these others. This one is actually called Hell. And when I used to be on the island, Naraya and I would message back and forth on Facebook about various things. And it would say something like, Naraya sent this message at 7:30 from Hell. And I just always got a kick out of the fact that he really went to the depths of hell to preach the gospel and was very faithful there. But this is just a section of land, and I show this picture because somewhat, I mean, I think it's humorous, but also it kind of gives you an idea of what a lot of the inland part of Cayman is like. It is extremely, extremely jagged limestone. Imagine trying to walk barefoot across this. But we got a group picture in hell, and everybody just looks way too happy. I was looking back at that, and I thought, man, why is everybody smiling? And then I realized not everybody was. Isla understood the assignment. She gets it. We can all look to her example because she knows you should not be smiling in a place called hell. This place where we were, it's kind of interesting. It's owned by a Christian there, this section of land, and he really turned it into somewhat of a tourist trap. It's kind of neat because he's got signage all over the place that talks about how Jesus Christ delivered us from death. Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we don't have to go to destruction. So he's turned a tourist trap into an evangelistic opportunity, and between services, we had to stop there. And it was closed because it's the Lord's Day. We also, after that, we went over to a retirement home that is called The Pines. And we were able to go in there and just spend some time encouraging, singing with the people there, reading scripture to them, having a couple of prayers with them. Again, a lot of times my photography, I feel, is very poor. One of the main characters is right over here, and you just can't see him very well. Let me change my color here. He was hidden behind that plant, but these are persons that have some of them just are elderly and just need extra assistance. Some of them have dementia. This person over here had some kind of dementia. I don't know, you know, specifically what his diagnosis was, but he was shouting things, just random things throughout the time where we were singing and all of that, just shouting things. And the thing that we found very cool and that was something that a lot of the people in our group talked about after the fact is while we were singing, we soon realized, though we weren't fully understanding, he was preemptively shouting out the next line in the songs that we were singing. And so here's a person that after the fact I tried to have a conversation with him, wasn't able to, And yet, while we're singing these songs, he is recalling songs he knew of old, and he was shouting them out and sharing them with us. And so we were just so encouraged by that. This lady sitting here that you can see right there in the front with the sun shining on her, she just stood there with the biggest smile in the world. And there were a lot of other, several other staff members over to the side that themselves were coming and joining in. And it was just an encouraging time. There wasn't much we could do between services on Sunday, but we did that. And it stood out as one of the more encouraging moments of the trip. Just being able to worship and encourage. And we were mindful of the book of James that says that pure religion in the sight of God is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. There is something that is not only fulfilling for them, but I would say even more so fulfilling for us. And we experience that. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You really do receive a bigger blessing. This is a picture of me and Miranda with Sister Tat. She is one of the ladies that we worked with when we were in East End. So on the day after Sunday, on Monday, the first thing we did, we just set up for VBS. We had the Civic Center rented out. But we also spent the afternoon going door-to-door within the East End community. So we were spread out. There were three different groups. We all went different places. But Miranda and I went, and we specifically knocked on some doors of some people that we had known, some people that we'd worked with for all these years. And we've not seen Sister Tad in, I don't know, if it's, I guess 6.5 years at this point. And when we knocked on her door, she didn't even know we were coming, but when we knocked on her door, she just came out and she said something like, "You're real," and just ran up and gave us the biggest hug that we've ever received. And it was amazing to reconnect with these people that we had known for all of this time. And some of them, part of the reason for this trip was to encourage the group that is in East End, the ones with whom we worked while we were there. After we left, they got another preacher from Jamaica, and kind of over the next 5 years, the church kind of began to dwindle there in East End to where it was a fledgling group, and they decided, look, we're going to kind of join forces with Georgetown and West Bay. So they departed out of East End, out of the building where we worshiped, and they moved up to those other two locations and just kind of joined forces with the other two churches on the island. As a result, there were some of these members, like Sister Tat, that no longer has a place to faithfully worship God. And so part of our purpose was to visit with, but also just to encourage them to be connected with the local church, not to just simply be comfortable and living in their small community, but find a way to worship. On Tuesday morning, we began our vacation Bible school time. As you can see here, it really was a bustling group. I would say that the majority of the group of children that lives in East End from, you know, what we would consider kindergarten through sixth grade joined for this. Even some that were outside of that grade, because they just said, we want to come. And so we brought them and, you know, used them as volunteers and that kind of stuff. But we began our vacation Bible school. It was a modified repeat of the vacation Bible school that we did here, the Stones of Remembrance. And so we were teaching them about those various stories in the Bible, the crossing of the Jordan, the stacking of the stones, you know, the resurrection stone, and all of that. And it was awesome. I will say, you know, I'm going to show you a picture in a little bit, but when we got there, on Sunday morning, we were conversing with Brother Nariah from West Bay, and he said you may run into an issue with your vacation Bible school, because the government has planned a camp for the children in the East End for the week that y'all are supposed to be here, and they're going to be doing various activities. It's an 8-to-5 camp. And the lady that was there at that camp was saying that she wanted to work with us. Is there a way that we could have the kids during one part of the day and they could have the kids during the other part of the day? Initially what she was saying was, because it was a camp that was going to be focused on drug prevention, And so she said, is there a way that we could just come to your VBS and do this drug prevention speech? And we told her, we said, look, that's not going to work because we have this thing, it's a well-oiled machine. We have we've got basically an hour and a half, 2 hours with the children. We know exactly what we're doing. We need all of that time. But we would be willing to, you know, find a way to transport the kids from where you are to our building from 9 to 11 and then find a way to get them back. So that was the original conversation. We showed up on Tuesday morning for VBS, and within the first 20 minutes, you know, say we're 20 minutes in, looking around, there was only about, I think, 24 children in total. We had 8 with us from Oldham Lane, so that's 16 of the local children, and it was looking like it wasn't going to turn out to be the great success that we'd hoped that it was. As you can see by the picture here, things changed, and in a little while, I'll show you specifically what it was that changed and what brought about this great increase. But just run through a couple of pictures here. Here was me and Blaine and Jet trying to do the best that we possibly could with these VBS songs. we really needed Luke to be there because he's the master at that. But we did what we could and stepped in there. We did a puppet show just like we did here. There's Mark holding up the puppet, and Eddie's back there. And we did the skits, ran through and did the skits for the children. So it was all very good. We broke up into various units. There were 3 different stations that we went to. Here's Miranda leading her group in a really fun activity. And, you know, I think one of the greatest things, I think, is seeing children laughing and having fun and full of joy in a setting that is wholesome and pure and good, where they are being modeled the image of Christ. Every one of our volunteers on this trip that was working in their various stations did it with such enthusiasm, such encouragement, such joy. And the kids from East End had an absolute blast doing it. They loved it. And, you know, this is one of the situations. The island itself is pretty well-to-do in terms of infrastructurally, but the local Caymanian people, that's not really the case for them, especially when you get out into East End. There are a lot of social issues. There are a lot of broken homes. A lot of times these children during the summer, they are just sitting around doing nothing. They're running around doing nothing. And this is why the government plans these camps. Thing just gets them doing something so that they can not get themselves into trouble. But it's very obvious that these kids are happy and willing to come and learn about the things of God. And we certainly accomplished that. There's Kitty and Jana doing a great job with these young ones. The young man over here, I believe his name was Kai. He was one of those that was an older gentleman. I think he was 16 or 17, and he just found out that we were doing this. And I think the thing that he said to Miranda was, and what was told to Miranda, was he wanted to spend his day doing something good and not getting into trouble was essentially what was said. So, and that's as real as you can imagine. When we were there on the island, I worked especially with the youth in the Cayman Islands prison system, 14 to 17-year-olds. And these were, in Cayman, they don't have a separate prison system for the youth. They go directly into the Cayman Islands prison. Now, they have their own unit, but they are in the prison. And that was a group that I worked with when I was there. And I found very quickly, and the thing I tried to imagine was, so these are, 14 to 17-year-old boys that I worked with. And the conversation on repeat is, I don't have a dad. My mom is on drugs. And I tried to imagine, I mean, I just think about, and I want you to think about this. Think about who you would be this evening if you grew up in a home like that. Now, Jesus can do many things, and I've seen him do many things. I've seen him take people that come from homes like that and turn their life around. But I think about, what are the odds? What is the likelihood that I would be living a life as a faithful Christian if all my life I didn't have a father and my mother was on drugs? These boys in the conversation that I had often, there's a hungriness and a lostness that's there. And so it's these kinds of things. We didn't even think we were going there to fill a void like that. But our group even filled the void with some of those older students who needed a place to go and just stay out of trouble for a time. You can only hope and you can only imagine, what can a seed do? I mean, we had a couple hours a day with these kids for 3 straight days. What can that do? I don't know. The prayer is that God would take it and do something good with it. Maybe some of these children are going to go on and they're going to make many mistakes. Maybe one day they'll realize some of their mistakes and they'll look back on these times that we spent with them and remember the glory of Jesus Christ. There's one of our own, Amber, there with the biggest smile in the world, and a couple of the local children there from Cayman. Here they were out there. I believe this is Rachel's class, painting their rocks. This young man there holding up his rock has a picture of the 3 crosses and sunshine. And here's Jet helping out. I just have to say, I loved getting to know Jet on this trip. We just had a great time with him. This is one of my favorite moments because Jet is 13. And this young man right over here is 13. Look at the way he's looking. They became buddies. Jet, and this is Jackson. Jackson is the son of some of the members that we worked with, Josh and Jess Pollock. I'll show you a picture of Jess here in a little bit. But at one point, Jackson, he's sitting here. This is when I took this picture. Jackson said, Jet, you need to come over and sit down and do the activity with us. And Jet said, no, I'm a volunteer. And Jackson said, you're the same age as us. And Jet's like, still, I'm a volunteer. And so he kept doing his thing. You can see just several of our members over there to the side working. Again, I cannot commend enough every single person on this trip. The grace, the joy, the way that they worked with these children, it was natural. It was just so encouraging. Here's some more pictures of these kids at our VBS. There's Rachel teaching some of the littles. I put this picture in here because there's a picture of the East End Civic Center. It kind of tucked back into the kind of a wooded area. And they've just built up, it's used for community events, churches can rent it out. When we were there on the island, we did a once a month combined church service. And whenever, and that is East End, Georgetown, West Bay, we would all combine for a once a month service to kind of keep the fellowship amongst the churches. And whenever we had it in East End, because our building was way too small, it was our house, too small to host everybody, we would host it here at this building. Just a really nice building that just worked great for our purposes. Here's one of the upstairs units within the Civic Center. There's Vina and Blaine playing a game with the kids up here. Again, kids giving silly faces. Just lots of joy, lots of camaraderie. Some more pictures. You can't get enough of these faces. Sweet kids. What do these stones mean? They're all holding up their sign. Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. There's a picture of our group on the last day. And, you know, I want you to see this picture. There were a lot of prayers said going into this. And the prayers obviously are for success, for seeds to be planted, that God would prosper the work that we do. But when we first got there, we're hearing about this, this other camp that's going on. that's an 8 to 5 camp. I mean, think about if you're a parent and you can have a place for your child to go from 8 to 5 and stay out of trouble. I mean, the kids otherwise are going to just be running around. What are you going to do? Are you going to sign them up for that camp or the VBS that's only 9 to 11? I mean, just think about it from those terms. Well, we knew that that was a factor, and we thought, well, we're just going to do the best we can with what we've got. And again, Tuesday morning, we come in there, and there's only like 24 kids, and we're thinking, you know what, a lot of these kids are up there at that camp right now. And the camp was only less than a mile away, probably half a mile away. Soon, we started seeing busloads showing up of those kids from that camp. This is a picture. Jana and I are taking a picture with Miss Lisa Burton. And this is one of those stories that has taught me the profound impact that just one encounter can have on a person. This lady, Lisa Burton, when I saw her, I thought, she looks familiar to me. I'm sure that I probably interacted with her at some point. Well, one afternoon at VBS, she came up to me, took me to the side, and basically said, you don't remember who I am, do you? And I just thought, well, no. The day before, she and I had been talking up at the school where the kids were having this camp about how we could possibly work to coordinate all of this. And she gave me her number, and I typed it into my phone, and the name Lisa Burton pulled up, and I thought, I said to her, is it Lisa Burton? And she said, yeah, that's my name. And I said, I got you saved in my phone already. So we must have known each other. Well, at that point, she didn't say anything. The next day, when we had a little bit of downtime and we were conversing in the gym, she reminded me of how 8 years prior to that point, she had been at a low point in her life where she wanted to end her life. She did not know where to go. She did not know what to do. And early one morning, I don't even remember this. Miranda remembers it. Early one morning, she showed up at the church building where Miranda and I lived. This is our house. And it had a sign out front that said East End Church of Christ. She just knocked on the door. She said that we went out and met with her and prayed with her, got her contact information, followed up with her, checked in with her for a time to ensure she had the things that she needed to make sure that she was okay, and then we just kind of moved on. We didn't have any relationship beyond that point. But the thing that she relayed to me and Miranda was that was a turning point in her life where somehow or another, by God's grace, that despair that she was in was turned into hope. And she realized, you know what, life is worth living, and I am going to carry on. Now she's one of the most integral parts of the East End community, working with all of the kids in that community. And she's the one that on the morning when we were having this VBS, that when she had realized that it was us that was doing it, she then went to the school and said, I'm picking these kids up, and they're coming with me to the East End Civic Center for VBS. We'll bring them back when we're done. And the director of the camp, who at that point was trying to kind of stonewall us, really did not have anything she could do. It was a lady, if it was a director from West Bay, she was not integral to the East End community. This lady, Lisa, knows all of those kids. She knew their names. She went down and picked them up and brought them back. And so in a short period of time, we went from 24 to close to 60 kids. On the last day, we had over 60. I don't know what the final count was. Just think about the impact that one single encounter could have, even on future endeavors that you do. Here's a picture also of a couple of our ladies from Oldham Lane, and picture of Jess Pollock right there. She was one of Miranda's and my best friends when we were on the island. Everybody can attest to how much she did for us on this trip. They coordinated all of the food. They coordinated so much on their end to make sure that we were well supplied, well taken care of. They took off work, her and her husband Josh. They took off work and they were there every single day helping and serving. On the last day, she gave a handwritten note to every person in our group and a special Cayman Islands illustrated book that gave a cool story to go along with it. And you just, those kinds of interactions are the kind that strengthen bonds and glorify God. And we're so thankful for Jess. I just think about how a few people can make a huge difference. In addition to the VBS, we also painted the building that once was the East End Church of Christ. Now it's not occupied. You can see there kind of that yellowish color. That's the color that it was when Miranda and I were there. In fact, that was the color that we and another group painted it while we were there. Now, Miranda and I protested it. We thought, look, let's do something bright, because most of the things on the island are very like bright teal, yellow, orange, whatever, really bright. But they said, no, we're going to paint it this color. Well, this time around, they decided to go with this blue color. And look, you can't see it in this picture. It was blistering hot out there. It was like 90% humidity, close to 90 degrees. That's hot. And you're close to the equator, so the sun is bearing down very, very powerfully. But again, the group got out there and just got to work. Got some pictures here of what we did. They're going to take this building and they're going to turn it into a nursery, which is another way of saying a daycare. But in Cayman, they use the daycare for kind of some formational years leading up to education. So it's going to be something that the government will be involved in, but it will be a church-run program. They don't have enough right now to start the church again in East End, but they want to have a church presence. So they're going to put a school here and have a church name attached to it and use it for making contacts and inroads in the East End community. Here's a picture of Mark. I just had to put up there this picture because his beard is just looking amazing. If you haven't seen it, you need to compliment him. He's got big plans for that thing, so I know Vina's very excited about it. Here's me and one of my office mates, Becky. We were the designated scrapers. We just gathered whatever we could. I think Becky is holding a hoe there, and we were using that. The island, the winds, the salt, the rain, hitting against a brick building just kind of eventually separates the paint from the wall, and it just starts peeling off and looks really sloppy. So we had to go around and strip it all before we did anything else. Here's me and Blaine. We didn't jump out of a pool just there. We just were sopping wet. Here's the group. You see a little bit of paint on Blaine's nose there. But he's asking the question, why is it that we're able to paint so freely and there just doesn't seem to be any interruptions? Well, the reason why was because of a few ladies, and I tried to get a picture of all of them. It was Yvonne May and Cindy Kirkpatrick and Barbara Dunn that stayed behind with the littlest and kept them occupied. Showed them that grandmotherly love, disciplined when needed, kept them at bay while we were able to work on the building. And this was, I think, one of the more meaningful and impactful ministries that went on while we were there in Cayman. There's a picture of the finalized product. This is where Miranda and I lived. That was our house. It's just kind of crazy. That was even our car. The church sold it to a guy that happened to be working on the building while we were there, which is crazy. But here's a picture of the Duns getting eaten by a Cayman Islands blue iguana. They're not really that big. I'll show you a picture here in a little bit of how big they are. When we got finished with our service project on the last day, we were able to go. And when we packed out Thursday afternoon, we were able to go to a botanic park and just kind of see some of the beauty. Friday was just a free day. And so I'll just show you a couple of pictures of the beauty of the Cayman Islands. There is value not just in work, not just in labor, not just in evangelism, but in spending good time with people that you love, especially getting out into the beauty of God's creation. He has given us a glorious world, and the psalmists talk on repeat about how much the creation testifies to God's glory. And so we spent some time getting out into it. Here's a couple of the kids. I think Leo found a fig leaf. I don't know why he's holding that there, but maybe he'd just done something wrong. I don't know. Here's just a picture of the Botanic Park from a kind of a high point that looks out across it. Just beautiful. Everything grows here. It's like, I mean, with that kind of humidity, it doesn't even need to rain. It just, the leaves just stay so vibrant and beautiful. There's a picture of the Cayman Islands blue iguana. It's the only place in the world that they exist. Grand Cayman is the only island where that iguana exists. It's a little frog. Here on the very last day, we went out into the big sound that's on the west side of the island. Went out to Stingray City. I mean, that looks like you're jumping into a bath. The water is so amazingly clear. This is Stingray City. And so there's Blaine and Ember. You can't see it right there, but they're petting literally a giant stingray. So we got to get out. And all of these little areas right back here, all of these are stingrays. There's a picture I took under the water of the stingrays. I want to finish by reading to you some statements from our group. I got a statement from every family unit that went on this trip. We believe that God was glorified. We believe that the church was encouraged. We believe that seeds for the gospel were planted in the community. We believe that people that were members that had gone astray were reminded to be faithful. And we don't know what all God's going to be able to do with it. But all we can do is plant and water, and then God gives the increase. So let me read to you some thank yous from the entire group. Doug and Cindy said, "We're very thankful to Oldham for the encouraging prayers, financial support. The singing at Cayman taught the gospel in many ways. Number one, the children's VBS singing about Jesus was exuberant, and their facial expressions impacted us. The Cast Your Burdens song led by Daniel and Blaine has been on our tongues all week. Number three, the old lady and man in the nursing home lighted up with tears and loud responses as we sang some old church favorites. So for the Kirkpatricks, the singing was a very encouraging thing. The Dunns wrote, "Thank you, Oldham Lane family, for your prayers, for our safety and the success of our mission. We believe the VBS, singing at the nursing home, and painting the East End church building all touched the people there, and we pray that it will encourage them to live their lives, to give their lives in God's service in Cayman." Yvonne May, she said, "I'd like to thank Daniel and Oldham Lane for giving me this opportunity to serve. I felt so honored to serve with such an inspiring group of Christians. All the details were meticulously thought out, and everyone worked together to make VBS an awesome experience for all the children involved. Witnessing the interactions between group members and the children was both joyful and loving. Such sweet memories. Thank you to those who drove the vans and got us to our destinations safely. Not always an easy task." We drive on the left side of the road over there, by the way. "The experience of a different culture and unique place was enlightening. The people were warm and friendly. God truly blessed us and this mission trip." The Gilberts wrote, "Dear Oldham Lane Church of Christ family, we are deeply grateful for your prayers and support that made our family's first mission trip possible. Over the past week, we were blessed to help organize a vacation Bible school, paint a home, provide community outreach through door-to-door visits, and sing hymns with nursing home residents. Serving together as a family and witnessing our children's hearts and faith grow as they share Jesus was an experience we will cherish forever and pray will inspire a lifelong love for missions. We also treasure the opportunity to strengthen relationships within our church family and to know our walk with Christ has been impacted for the better. We look forward to continuing this mission work both at home and wherever the Lord leads. With love, the Gilberts." The Connells, Becky and Robert, "We are grateful for the opportunity to work and serve the Lord in Cayman. We went to Cayman with a focus of putting on a VBS for the children at East End, and that was a tremendous success. The most important work we did there was to encourage the church on Cayman. We worked alongside them on VBS, visited members who needed encouragement, and painted the church building for a project they've planned to increase their impact on the community. We're glad to have made lifelong friends with members of Oldham Lane, too. There's no better way to get to know someone than through hard work. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share in this soul-growing experience for the church. Kaman and Oldham Lane, the Connells. Doc, Kitty, and Jet Holt said, "We felt the Lord's presence in every part of our journey. We visited with some of the sisters' homes with Daniel and Miranda and witnessed the renewal of their deep connections and how encouraging and hopeful it was to them and to us. Jet and Doc and Kitty experienced the rich examples of God's love, building relationships with members of our team and service to the Kaman youth. We're so thankful for the growth experiences Jet had, knowing they will continue to shape his life. Thank you, Oldham Lane, for your prayers and support for the mission and team. It was a great success. We are so grateful for all of you." The Mayfields, Miranda and I, we wrote, "Dear Oldham Lane family, we want to thank you for your prayers and support in our mission, back to where our first ministry began, Grand Cayman. Visiting old friends and close brethren was like a homecoming for us, and it was so special to reintroduce Judah to where he was born. We truly believe our efforts in Cayman encouraged the local church and edified the East End community. We were blessed to work with some of Oldham Lane's finest servants, and we've created lifelong bonds through this ministry. We thank you, and we praise God." The Whitlocks wrote, "We are so thankful to Oldham Lane for the opportunity to go and serve in Cayman. Mission work has always had a special place in my heart," Blaine writes, "and getting to share that with Rachel and the girls was an unbelievable experience. Being able to put on a VBS amongst other service projects and tasks was a blessing to our family. We enjoyed being a part of this adventure, even through sickness." There was some sickness that spread around. "And spreading the love of Jesus with the people of Cayman. Thank you, Oldham Lane." And then lastly, but certainly not least, Jana Peterson wrote, "I'm so very proud of our group and this mission trip. In a heartbeat, I'd do it again. We worked hard to prepare, ideas were executed, and we cooperatively worked together to encourage and plant seeds in adults and children's hearts in Cayman. I also saw our men, including Jet, step up and lead in ways they might not have before. What a time to grow friendships and encourage one another in our group. Thanks to Daniel and Miranda and their love for Cayman and their love for us to invite us to meet the brethren there. Thank you, Oldham, for the prayers and support to do mission work." Again, I echo all of this. Thank you so much. It was your contributions in many ways that helped us to be able to do this. And we just pray that God would be glorified always through it. With that, if we can help you in any way at all, if you wish to give your life to Jesus, if you need the prayers of this church, anything you need, you can come forward and let it be known while we stand and while we sing.